The stuff we're using now, the stuff we're using now is you're paying four, and the stuff I got is 15. Holy Christmas, we got a problem. You know, is there anything we can do together, you know, to try to, you know, make this happen? Because I think you know this stuff works pretty good and so on. It's more dependable and so on. And here's a list of stuff or something, you know. You sit down next to the customer, and it's you and the customer against the problem. It's not, I'm telling you, you know, order this and that. It's going and sitting right alongside the customer. The power of sitting alongside of somebody is huge. We'll talk more about that as we go along in the behaviors things too as well. Okay, let's move over now. We're going to start talking about behaviors. Now there's...
Can I say something?
Sure, go right ahead.
As being a SQL Business Solution Manager, I've spoken to a lot of you guys about added value solutions that we have. And I'm sure you see in the chart where we talk about price of the inserts compared to the whole... cost, the total cost of the from start to finish, right. The material setup, yeah. Blah blah blah. That's where you can make a big difference when you're out there. And then it doesn't really matter if the insert is $15 or $4. If you can prove it to them that they can save a lot of money from start to finish, that could be thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yes.
And then building that,
and you know, and you may not feel comfortable putting all those numbers together and so on, but there's people around that can help you do that. And once you get it going and get it figured out, then you can repeat that. That's the key to really being successful in selling this kind of product, is how much can you save the customer? And who's going to argue with you? You know, if you say, well, you know, one of the things in the programs we talk about is floor space. If you got to have more floor space for inventory, that costs you a lot of money. I was into an account just the other day. They had to lease another building, believe it or not, pay for all the heating and all this other crap, to store obsolete inventory. Because they got too much stuff and they don't have time to go fix it. So if you can cut down on floor space, you know, maybe they can consolidate some stuff. They don't have to buy another building or heat another building or have an employee over there or whatever. So there's a lot of costs that you can take out of an application. And nobody's going to tell you, well, you're a liar. We didn't save $482 in electricity. You know, you say, well, that's my best guess. Oh, it's only $481. Okay, well, let's make it $481 then. I mean, if you can put a dollar figure on it, use your best guess. Nobody's going to argue with that number, usually.
Yeah, one thing you got to remember, though, is a lot of these guys you're talking to, let's say you're talking to the engineer who actually buys the tools, he's writing that purchase order open the tool, so those are hard costs for him. A lot of these test reports we generate, there's a lot of sauce dust in there, you know, where you're saving an operator. Well, that engineer's not necessarily writing that check out to pay for this operator's time,
right,
this machine time. So, you know, he doesn't always look at your cost report. Let's say you save $100,000. He's only seeing maybe three out of his budget.
Right.
So we're saving him money, too. So.
But I, you know,
I... A quick point there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Back to you, John.
Yeah.
But you had the commitment from selling up the business. Then you had the commitment from up top. You have the buy-in from up top and say, you know what, on tools, your guy's an engineer guy, he's going to be saving this. But you, being in charge of the whole operation, you can even, in some cases, you can save a whole shift if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can break it down and say, this is how I can present it to this person, and this is how I can present it to this. The tool cost and the whole thing with a PCA.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in the instance I was talking about before is, saved them $104,000, and that was all on machine time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were looking to purchase another horizontal. So that saved them the cost of that horizontal, the floor space, another operator, and everything. So it was the cost savings is actually more than that. Even if they're spending $14,000 more a year on tooling than they currently are.
And I think most tool engineers, if you save some labor in the shop, I mean, they work for the same company. I would hope that they would have some good feeling about the fact that we did save them money, even if it's not in my little area, you know. Go ahead, Earl.
There is a reality there with companies like, for example, like some of us have GE accounts, and I'm going to use them as a prime example because they're very, very, very cost conscious, okay? And there's a good example. We have a national contract with GE, or an international contract. And in our international contract, we have a man hour saving, or a man hour cost of $50 an hour for across the board. Well, when I did my first PCA, I was shot down right away from, and this is, and I worked this account from the top down, okay, and out. And I sat down with some of the top level managers. Well, they wouldn't accept that $50 an hour that was in the contract for the labor rate. They had me use a much lower cost because their budgets are dictated on their cost savings, and they get hard dollars taken away from that.
No kidding.
And they lose money the next year. So if you go in and you say, hey, I'm saving you $200,000, and it's a lot of soft cost savings, you're taking literally $200,000 out of their budget next year. And they just can't.
Yeah, well, you got to be aware of what they're